man.
Tony Martin.
And today, the battle for Farlap. Everyone wants a bit of him. Should we slice him up and let each state have a bit? Mick has the answer. Also today, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Talking Wine Collection, the all-new Martin Molloy Gallery of Freaks, and yes, several mentions of you-know-who. Shane Bourne is joining us to play When Celebrities Attack. We'll fire up the Radio Gladiators, find out why they call Bob Carr the fence, and meet yet another fine comedian, Britain's Frank Skinner. He's on board today. Yes, it's all coming up on Martin Molloy, the program even the Prime Minister is starting to enjoy.
What has changed my view is the material, the new material.
Closer to free, that's the Bodines. Good afternoon. Everyone tuning in right around Australia and everyone tuning in 12 hours from now in central London. This is Martin Molloy. It's our very special midweek edition with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's blaming everything on sloppy bookkeeping, Mick Molloy.
When in doubt,
sloppy bookkeeping.
I know, never fails.
Yes, now, look, there's a lot of news in the papers today, but I think the story that's really caught my attention, and it's right up the back of the papers,
right,
is this news that Andrew Lloyd Webber likes to talk to his wine collection.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I reckon that's what he must have been doing when he selected his costume for Elton John's 50th birthday party. That so-called Manchester United football supporter's outfit. I reckon he'd been consulting a couple of bottles of finest Bordeaux before he decided to leave the house in that gear.
Indeed.
Says Lloyd Webber, whose cellar contains wines worth more than $4 million. Get your tongue off the floor, Darren Hinch. There's nothing I like more of an evening than a trip down to the cellar for a quiet conversation with my tannic friends, unquote. A conversation? What, they talk back to him, do they? No, mate, musical entirely on roller skates. It'll be fantastic. Give it a go. And obviously he'd tip out any bottles that haven't found their cellar voice yet. Remember that quote a couple of months back? Andrew Lloyd Webber cancelled the Broadway debut of his latest musical, Whistle Down the Wind, because, quote, it hadn't yet found its stage voice, i.e. it sucked the big one. Hadn't found its stage voice. That's my front runner for excuse of the year so far.
Right.
That even comes in ahead of sloppy bookkeeping. Maybe Mel Colston could have tried that one. I've almost finished writing my explanation, Mr. Speaker, but it hasn't quite found its stage voice yet. It needs a few more run-throughs off-Broadway. Yes, my latest musical hasn't found its stage voice, but check out this bottle of Beaujolais. It'll talk your ear off till the early hours. My dad used to talk to his home brew collection, Mick.
Is that right?
Yeah, you'd hear him at 2 a.m. going, "You guys taste like piss! Pull yourselves together, come on!" There was a brew that never found its stage voice. Hey, speaking of the Colston affair,
oh, yeah,
and people are doing little else today, Mal's refusing to stand down. I understand that's the latest situation. And I've been talking to the team up there at B105.
Right.
And it seems that, well, he's bunkered in his Queensland home today. And have you heard that graphic piece of footage? From up north, a journalist who tried to pay Mal a visit was met with this response from Big Mal's son, David.
Get the f*** off the property!
Well, we've just been asked to...
Get up!
Now, I don't think that was actually a live reaction. That's just what happens when you press the doorbell at the Colstons.
Get the f*** off the property!
Well, we've just been asked to...
Get up!
That's a great idea, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people have those devices to frighten away burglars. You step on the doormat and you hear the sound of a dog barking. I'm getting that recording at my place. Just touch the doormat and...
Get the f*** off the property!
Well, we've just been asked to...
Get up!
The journalist in question then got into a scuffle with Colston Jr. that you'll see on the news tonight. Check out this.
You are on the property.
Did you take your hand off my throat, please?
Mal himself then appeared and said, "Now, can anyone try and put their hands around my throat? There's $20 for any bastard who can find it." I feel that's what's going on in Alicia's attic. It's Martin Molloy, and what have you got there, Mickey?
Well, Tone, there are grave fears
that one of this country's most revered sporting icons, Farlap, may be coming apart at the seams, literally.
Oh, dear, oh,
you've been following this?
Oh, it's ugly.
The big red thoroughbred, far and away the most popular dead horse in the country, will have to be moved from its current abode at the Museum of Victoria when the doors close in July for 2 years while renovations are completed.
Is that a good idea?
Well, I don't know. The museum director claims Farlap may either disintegrate or, at worst, collapse in the move and fears such a tragedy could cause community outrage. Yeah. Farlap's hide, for those who don't know, was stretched over a hollow shell of burlap and plaster supported by steel framework in the 1930s.
Yes.
The Russians apparently did the same thing with Boris Yeltsin a few years back. They're very happy with the results. We've had no complaints so far. That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I might apply for the same treatment when I'm dead. Then people from all over the world could rock up to the museum and look at my perfectly recreated fleshy torso while the purists sat round debating whether they got the right amount of arse crack poking over the top of my lace-lung tracky decks. Maybe even with a cord on my back that when pulled would peel off a couple of my... That'd work, wouldn't it? Here's another.
Blow it out your arse.
Oh, how's the fun? Here's another one.
Ah, yeah. Couple of those.
Oh, how did that get in there?
Hang on.
I have no idea. Here, try this one.
How did that take
off? Look, see, it's open to abuse.
Gee.
Hey, I've been working on one for David Colston.
Get the f*** out of the property!
What was it been asked to
Yes, you've been immortalised, Dave. Right there. Tone, it's a pity Madame Tussauds haven't run with this idea of using real skin. I'd queue for days for a quick squiz at a ghoulish David Copperfield or a pasty Kylie Minogue. David Copperfield, you'd be tempted to punch him in the eye to see if he bruised, wouldn't you?
I know some people who bought tickets to see a ghoulish David Copperfield when he was out here.
Enough said. Farlap, though, made of steel and plaster. Mm. Imagine if he wasn't. What if when they moved him, they pulled off the head to reveal two blokes in pantomime horse position? Going, oh, thank Christ for that. It's murder to breathe in there. What year is it? So what are they going to do? No one wants to see Big Red collapse in a heap or, you know, be left in a pile of rubble. Mm. And if so, can we rebuild him? Do we have the technology? Or will it just end up being a couple of blindfolded museum curators attempting to pin the tail on Farlap? Because he has to move. There's no getting around it. And there's no shortage of takers.
No.
The MCG wants him. Crown Casino want him. Mm. The Senator keen to talk to him about a vacancy in the Deputy President's chair. Personally, I don't think any of those are appropriate homes for the big fella, Tone.
No.
I think he should be back on the race course where he belongs. Not behind glass, not in the foyer, but on the track.
Yeah.
In the starter's gate. For every race in the outside barrier, when the others jump, he just stands there doing diddly. You'd make the race caller include him in the call. And coming around the home turn, it's octagonal just ahead of Juggler and Nothing Like a Day, and they're followed by the rest of the pack. And back at the starter's gate, it's Farlap. He hasn't moved a muscle. He's just standing there like he has for the last 60 years. The jockey's pulled out the whip, but he just won't budge. Oh, his head's fallen off. What a boil over. That'd be a bit of fun every race. Absolutely every race. Anyway, Tone, considering the unlikeliness of that, I've taken matters into my own hands.
Have
check
you?
It out. Yeah, I've got me hands on Farlap.
Here we
but
go.
I've taken it down the shop for some retooling.
No.
I'll just jump on board. Just hold on a second. Okay, are you ready, Tone?
All right.
I got the idea from down the pub. Check it out. It's a mechanical Farlap. Hey! Whoa! Get me off it! Oh, I don't like it any more!
For Linda Carlisle, leaving the light on here at Martin Molloy.
Roll up to the Martin Molloy Gallery of Freaks. Mick and Tony have scoured the world to bring you the most bizarre and disturbing parade of human deformities ever seen outside the annual list of performances nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars. There's Mick, the man who'll eat anything. Broken glass.
Oh, my God, he's eating glass.
Live hornets.
Hornets, he's eating hornets.
And whatever lonely items are left in the Bay Marie of his local sandwich shop when he gets there at 3:30.
Oh, my God. He's finished the last floating dim sum and now he's going for the sad potato fritter on a plate.
Then, for those with stronger dispositions, there's Tony Martin, the bony-ass New Zealander.
Yeah, look, Pete, there's not really anything particularly freakish about that.
Avert your eyes, people. Has he no shame? Uh-oh, foul of temper and even fouler of bowel. It's Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat. An even more unlikely freak of nature is Sensia, the woman who thinks Mal Colston is a spunk.
Oh, he is just so dreamy. I'd love to nestle up to him in front of an open fire and shelter under his second and third chins. He can claim me as a work-related expense anytime he wants.
Then, for those who still haven't lost their lunches, there's our hall of miserable, sour-faced bigots.
Bow-legged, slant-eyed, slope-headed, rotten little bastards.
I don't like it.
All the cackling ethnics up the back, well, blah, 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 blah.
I want to know what's going on.
I am not racist.
I don't like it.
Yes, Ron, Pauline, Sansia, Blimpy, Mick, Tony, and the astonishing Gracie, whose extraordinary act prompted this reaction from Freak Circus veteran Jim Rose.
I thought I'd seen everything, but when the astonishing Gracie swallowed all the individual pieces of an IKEA flat pack wardrobe, then moments later produced the finished product, complete and ready for in-store display from his own back door, I was smitten. Congratulations, Martin Malloy. I'd shake you both by the hand if it hadn't been stapled to my genitals during a recent lunchtime performance.
The Martin Malloy Gallery of Freaks. We guarantee you'll blow your breakfast.
There, the final piece of the 97-range freestanding lamp has been swallowed. And now... Oh, Mick, if you could give it a yank.
Righto. Sorry, Gracie, the stand's caught. Use your foot, Mick. You need some leverage.
It's higher and higher here at Martin Malloy, that Gallery of Freaks item we just heard before. I'd like to just assure the staff down at our local sandwich shop, the Bain-Marie that was referred to was a generic Bain-Marie, and no reflection on the team down there, Michelle, Derek and co.
Oh, I love it down there. That's my favourite sandwich shop.
Now,
and yeah.
Yeah, what about Derek's Michael Bolton CDs you promised him on the show?
They're coming.
Are
they? They're travelling.
Has that been sorted out? Don't want any ugliness.
He'll be dressed as the Incredible Hulk tomorrow.
Is it Hulk Day?
Take to it. It's Hulk Day.
They're running out of theme days down there. You know, it's getting like Philip Brady on the Bert Newton Show.
Our sandwich shop has 5 Michelin hats.
Yeah.
That's the highest award you can get in the restaurant circle.
Is that
5
right?
Michelin hats.
Sensational. Okay, we've smoothed that over. Mm. It's Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour. Funny Buggers Week continues. We've promised to bring you the best in world comedians. Mm-hmm. We're helping ourselves to the pool in the country for the International Comedy Festival in Melbourne. Frank Skinner is going to be with us. Excellent. I know people may not have heard of Frank, but he's probably the biggest stand-up, not physically, but in terms of popularity on the circuit in Britain.
Yep.
And he hosts a couple of TV shows that nobody's heard of here. But we'll be talking about that.
It's excellent.
In the next hour, Frank Skinner. And also, of course, Shane Bourne is going to be dropping by to play When Celebrities Attack. What happened yesterday? People were coding up.
McKay. Oh, dear. I think one of them could have been the real Matt McKay. I can't tell it from the others.
He's just desperate for that walk-on role in NYPD Blue, which is going to be the prize at the end of the competition. Courtesy of Blue M&Ms, we've got Radio Gladiators coming up. And what have you got there, Mickey?
Oh, I'm just going for the papers, Tony. I've seen that Australian Penthouse magazine have released a new poll ranking Australia's sexiest women. Greta Scarkey up there on top, I believe, followed by Elle Macpherson, no surprises there, Kimberly Davis, Nikki Buckley, Kay Fisher, no Peter Andre, quite surprised by that. I thought I might have at least been ranked in the top 10. And no Amanda Vanstone.
No.
So don't expect any public appearances from her over the next 2 weeks. I know she said if she was in the list, she was back on board.
That's right.
She'd meet anyone, anywhere, anytime. But she's seen this list, stormed out, said don't expect me to show my face for another month.
And I think I'm quoted on there as complimenting Indira Naidoo, which is fair enough and quite sincere. But I should really say hello to my wife who's listening to the show today at home. She's been in bed with the flu all week.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she told me today she was going to tune in on the Walkman Harman headphones. Mm-hmm. I think she's lying. I think she listens to the talkback stations myself. Mm-hmm. But right. In case she is listening, I know she loves it whenever we play a bit of Quo. So here we go. She'll be doing the Sharpie dancing on the bed right now. You haven't tampered with this, have you, Gracie? That's actually how the song goes. Are we up to the second verse yet? Okay, I think that's probably enough. That's sent her back into remission.
Hey, Tone, speaking of Amanda Vanstone, check this out. I'm going to ride the mechanical Vanstone.
This is Martin Malloy, Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Regular listeners would know that Mick and myself get most of our material out of the Your Say 50-50 columns in the tabloid newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really where the big issues are canvassed and discussed.
In detail.
In this country. Here's a fantastic letter from the paper this morning. Am I the only person sick of Totty Goldsmith? Does she do anything other than pout? And that's from Totty Off.
Totty Off.
Of course Totty Goldsmith does things other than pout. You know, she,
The old, you know, the, what, oh. Hang on.
Sometimes she...
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. No, lost it.
I'm sure she does something.
She does. She must do something. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, okay, we'll come back to that one later in the show. Here's another very important issue, which I think, it's great that it's been brought out. It's one we've been talking about on the show. So... Everyone's favourite game show host, John Burgess, is back, and that's good to see. But still, something is missing. Where's his moustache? While we love his lip, we miss the mo. Bring it back, Burjo. Shame on the shave, from Seddon.
Shame on the shave? Oh, anyone involved in the shaving of Burjo's moustache should take a good long hard look at themselves. They're obviously sick people. Is it was the moustache we wanted.
Exactly. But you can do, as I said yesterday, you can do what I do, get a big black texter and just draw it on the screen when it comes on. Now, I think what we're leading to, one of our favourites, little things that get you goat. Little things that annoy you. Here's the kind of thing that people call up about on this segment. Too many little cardboard kind of brochures that drop out of the TV week.
Oh, yeah.
When you're walking out of the shop. You know, when you pull up beside the ticket dispenser at a car park building and you just can't quite reach it. You've got to re-increment the vehicle so you can get it. I know probably the most calls we get on this segment about, you know, you go to the bank, there's 10 teller spaces, only one teller on duty, and a fantastic thing happened at my bank about a month ago. There was about 15 of us in a queue. There must have been 12 windows. There was only one teller working. There was about seven other people meandering around. Nobody wanted to say anything. Finally, one woman just stood up and just went, "Does anybody work here at all?" And all the other customers lifted her up and carried her out of the bank. Someone presented her with flowers. It was just one of those sensational real-life moments. Little things that get you goat. Have you got any for us, Mick Malloy?
Oh, look, I haven't really worried. I don't know. I'm thinking off the top. Okay, here's one. What about the telephone, your public telephone?
Yeah.
That just refuse to give you any change whatsoever. I'm not joking. Like, they'll say, accepts $1, $2 coins. Yeah. Where's a little sign saying, none, give them back, though. You can sit there. It's like playing a pokey. You've got more chance of getting money back down the casino. You put it in, won't you? Yeah. Oh, sorry, 30 cents. Oh, well, I'll make another phone call. Sorry, mate. Kiss that sucker goodbye. Some fat bastard down at telecoms sitting there straightening his stomach going, boo-ah, got him again, boo-ah.
Well, here's something little that annoys me. You buy a bottle of vitamin tablets, 100 tablets. You go, sensational, 100 tablets. That's 100 vitamins. And then you read and it goes, take 2 tablets after every meal. Why is that? Why not just have 50 bigger tablets?
Right.
So that's the way of making you think you're getting 100, but because you have to take 2, in fact, you're only getting 50 tablets.
I hear you.
Why not go further? Why not have 1,000 tablets, take 20 after every meal?
like that a lot.
Well, why not just have one real big one?
The size of a footy. Exactly. And you've got to swallow it like a snake.
It's playing mind games. They're playing mind games, the tablet people.
They are. While we're talking tablets, here's a little something that annoys me. The new thrill pill.
Oh, the thrill pill.
Have you heard about that?
Oh, the thrill
pill. It's got to replace men altogether. Yes. It gives women orgasms. There's a dangerous bottle of 100, isn't it? Take two before bed. Take two before lunch. No, don't! Don't take two before lunch. Just take two before bed. My girlfriend, if she wants to recreate the exhilarating high of sex with me, she can just pop a couple of Tic Tacs. No need for any new pill for her.
I think it's probably time to go to the prize music. Some annoying music. Oh, ouch. Call us up and tell us what gives you the squirts. Little things that get you goat. Do we have a prize? Yes, tickets for two to see the movie of your choice. As listeners know, we're recommending The Castle, which opens at a cinema near you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go into the draw for 8 days in an endless bloody summer at Club Med New Caledonia, the world's most carefree holiday. It's official. The UN have endorsed that statement.
Indeed.
Call us now with little things that annoy you on 1-800-657-657. And I think we know what annoys David Colston when journalists try to pay him a visit at home.
Get the f*** off the property!
What was it been asked to be?
Get up!
It's Martin Malloy.
Mm.
And look, as I was saying, okay, so you've got tablets, right? There's 100 tablets.
Right.
But you have to take two. So really, it's just 50 tablets all cut in half.
There you go. Really? That's what they're doing.
Can you guess what we're doing today, kids? That's right, we're talking about little things that get your goat.
Mm.
Have we got some people on the phone whose goat has been firmly gotten, Mick Malloy?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Darren's going to kick us off today. How are you, Darren?
Not too bad, Mick. How are you going?
Yeah, can't complain. What's got your goat?
Well, one little thing. Yeah. You go to a McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, yeah.
You pay your money.
Yeah.
You get to the next window.
Yeah.
They make you park.
Oh, park! Oh, no, they're not ready to go.
They're not ready to go. It's a drive-thru, not a park-thru. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, and the way it works, I don't even think you should have to brake. I reckon you should be able to drive past that second window and they just piff them in through your open window. I mean, what kind of preparation actually has to go on that it means you got to park?
And isn't it bad when it's like a wait on a burger? The burger request has caught you with your pants down, has it? Ronald? Weren't expecting that curveball?
Usually quarter pounder.
All right. I like that idea, piffing them in as you drive past.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Darren. Now, Leslie. Leslie, what's annoying you?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was really, really sick with a gastro bug. I thought I might have had a bit of that salmonella or something.
Oh, there's a lot of it going about.
Yes, and I'd been in bed for a couple of days and gone to the doctors, looked disgusting, hair everywhere, had the ice cream container because I'd been throwing up.
Did you?
And the doctor calls me in and I go in and the first thing he says to me is, how are you today?
How does
he think I am?
Did you introduce him to the contents of the ice cream container?
Well, I felt like it, I tell you.
What are you doing? You're walking around with an ice cream container. Oh, check it out, Neapolitan.
Oh, no, I don't think it was that.
Gee, so the doctor, and what does he say again?
What did he say to me? How are you today?
How are you? It's like those people who it's 40 degrees. Hot enough for you?
Yeah.
Don't you love that? All right. Well, thanks, Leslie. That's pretty annoying.
Indeed.
Let's see if Charlotte or... How do you say your name,
Charlotte?
Charlotte, are you annoyed?
Oh, I'm very annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've changed my mind with what I'm annoyed about. That's how annoyed I am.
Really?
Wow. Well, you're going to get us annoyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is even better than the other one.
What is it?
Well, what annoys me is when certain radio stations have competitions.
Yes, and you can't get through.
No, you've got to be caller 100.
For God's sake,
wait till I buy my Telstra shares or my Optus shares. Let me make some money out of it.
What
do you have to be caller 100 for?
Gee, well, you don't have to do that on this show. You just have to get through and say what you're pissed off about.
We've reduced
the formula.
At this point, Charlotte, you're caller number 3, and you've got every chance of winning something.
Whoa!
Hey?
All right, well, okay, we might move on to Anne. Is that something to do with us?
No, I don't know. Was that a go at us? Was it a go at Telstra? Was it?
I'm not sure. Okay. Caller 100. I haven't entered that one.
Get that going. Let's hack 100 callers on Gladiators tomorrow. Let's put it to the test.
That'll get the newsreaders foaming at the mouth. When are they going to end? All right, have we got Anne on board? Are you there, Anne?
Yes, hi, Tony. Hi, Mick.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, you're not meant to be good, Anne. You're meant to be annoyed.
Oh, no, I'm really, really annoyed.
What's happened?
I work on reception, and every time I clean the glass doors out the front, someone comes and puts their great big dirty paws straight on the door.
Oh, gee. How much of that blue Windex are you going through of a day, Anne?
I go through, like, 2 bottles of it a week. It's really bad.
The same thing happens here. I spend all morning polishing up the glass at reception. Next thing you know, Tony and Gracie are doing bum presses. There's a pressed fruit bowl. I'm out there again with the Windex. It never ends. It never ends, Anne.
What you need is a barrier. You need it roped off. You need a plastic screen like the salad bar at Sizzler in front of the glass window. Oh, then you'd have to wipe that down.
Mm. What about a mild electrical shock?
What about the piranhas? Something like that. Or what about just David Colston standing there? Go get off my promenade! All right, thanks very much, Anne. Have we got James? Are you there, James?
Yes.
James, what's annoying you?
What's annoying me is when you get up to the toilet, yeah, you go to the loo,
yeah,
you sit down, you've done the bizzo, you look around, serve an empty roll, there's a brand new roll of toilet paper there.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's not, especially if it's around our place and you've got the cheap brand and the glue's gone through the first 2 or 3 layers and you can't get the lead of the paper up and it rips and it tears and you end up with a piece of paper a mile long.
Exactly. It's very easy to engineer a ticker tape parade in your own toilet, I find, because there's only 2 things to do. You can either stop and just tear across, or do what I do and go, no, no, I'm just going to keep going until something proper happens with this roll.
I think that's what Mel Colston's complaining about when he refers to sloppy paperwork. I can't say for sure.
I think that could have something to do with it.
Thanks very much, James, and nicely stretched Mick Malloy. Have we got Paula there? You there, Paula?
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? Good.
Not bad. Is there something annoying you?
Yes, there's something annoying me. My husband, when we first met, whenever he had a bath, he used to put a face washer over his little dangly bits. And he didn't like me looking at him when he was in the shower. He used to turn around and face the wall.
Oh, okay. Do you think he's listening to the show today, Paula?
No.
Do you think is his dangly bit the little thing that annoys you? what's annoying you the most? Awesome. That you he wouldn't play the old peekaboo?
I just think that I'm his wife, and I think I'm entitled to at least see all of him, and not just the like from the head to the toe with the bit missing in the middle.
Maybe it could be available for viewing at a half hour interval every afternoon.
See,
a face washer. Mm. See, just 10 seconds before we've gone to air, Sansa's trying to explain the course. Which she's going, as a woman whose husband attaches a washer to his dangly bit. I mean, he's weighing it down. It's like a sinker.
He's in the Jim Rose circus.
Yeah, he doesn't like it floating on top. Yeah, okay. Annoying.
All right, Paula. We've got Paula with Mr. Lifto. We've got James with the toilet paper scenario. We've got Anne with that very annoying glass reception area. We've got Charlotte with, 100 callers. We've got Leslie with the doctor, the sarcastic doctor, and Darren with the drive-through. Which one are you going for, Mick? Parking at the drive-thru or the washer?
Let's try that. We'll go with Paula.
All right.
She wants to check out the goodies and she's having no luck.
You can't look, but you can touch in this incident, I think. Okay. Well, Paula, you've got yourself tickets for 2 to see the movie of your choice.
Oh, cool. Thanks, guys.
And you've gone into the draw for 8 days in an endless summer at Club Med New Caledonia.
Oh, make sure I pack me face washers.
Okay. Well, would you take your husband along for that if you won?
Yeah, I'll take him.
All right. Well, you go along to that and maybe he'll arrange a screening. Thanks very much, everyone who was annoyed today. And we'll be back in the next hour with Shane Bourne and a very fine comic from the UK, Mr. Frank Skinner. And in this hour, Shane Bourne joins us for When Celebrities Attack. We'll pay another visit to Martin Malloy Cult Headquarters. And next up, a very funny bloke, Frank Skinner, is on the gab, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's Step by Step. It's Martin Malloy, and it's the second hour. Our Festival of Funny Buggers is continuing. On the program, this bloke, he's possibly the most popular stand-up comic in England today. He's a Perrier Award winner. He's had a number one single. And he co-hosts one of the UK's most watched TV shows. Join us as we get to know Frank Skinner. Frank, thanks for coming in today.
It's my pleasure.
It's good to have you here because we want to just tell you a short story. 1991, we were at the Edinburgh Festival and we went and saw you.
Okay, I'm bored now. You said short.
No, you like this. You were playing to about 120 people in a very small room.
Right.
And we thought, this guy's sensational, got to get him out to Australia. And we've gone and seen the woman, this rather snooty woman who's bringing the acts out to the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And she's gone, yes, I haven't seen him myself, but I hear he's very grubby. And yeah, we kept sort of pushing you, and she was just ignoring
us. Camping. That
But then you've won the top award, and we've seen her queuing up with about 700 other people trying to get you to come to their country, and we've said, so you like him now? And she's gone, yes, he's subverting political correctness.
So you've gone, I like to think I was Neo Swift.
But you finally made it out here, and are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, I have made it out here, and it's, I'm having a very lovely time, yes.
I see you're tasting of the local cuisine.
Yeah, I nipped into there's a sandwich bar next door to the radio station, which a lot of your listeners won't know, but it's good to give a bit of local colour, thing. And I went in there for some vegetable pie, and she said, shall I warm it up for you? And I said, yeah, please. And she just put it under her armpit. And you know I hate that. No, she put it in a microwave, which took about 25 minutes to do.
Right.
One of the few gas microwaves I've ever seen.
Frank, what is this accent we're hearing?
I'm from England.
England? Where's that exactly?
Can you point to it on a map?
Yeah, I brought over some of the trimmings from Captain Cook's cottage, which were left behind.
No. Oh,
yes. Captain Cook's cottage, which Captain Cook never went within about 35 miles of, apparently. He once saw a drawing off on his deathbed by some theme park designer. He says, just look at it, then we can say it's your cottage.
There was a guy out here last year who went a bit nuts and turned up to one of our football games in Melbourne in a dress. Later turns out was the bloke who stole Captain Cook's ditty box.
But it's back now, isn't it?
What's back now? Yeah. Well, you missed the whole funeral, Frank.
Oh, dear. But the thing is about Captain Cook's cottage, they've obviously been criticised so many times, is that they sort of say believed to be and stuff. Even the ditty box, it says, it's got JC on it, and it says, oh, very probably, but we're not sure, and maybe, but anyway, Captain Cook once saw this ditty box.
Now, Frank, I don't want to be rude, but nobody's heard of you out here, whereas in England, what you've been on This Is Your Life. Is
That's
that true?
That is absolutely true.
But you're quite young. What's going on?
I know. I ended at the end of this show at the London Palladium, and I ended like 90 minutes of the most obscene, disgraceful material you've ever heard in your life. Really, from the very dark edge of the pit. And as I turn around, there's this guy, Michael Aspel, who presented over there, Mr. Mainstream Respectability, with the big red book, and he says, "This is your life." And then I sat back, and we did. It lasted about over an hour, the record, with lots of people coming on and talking about anal sex and them saying, oh my god, have we got half an hour of material yet? And eventually they managed to scrape together a respectable half hour, but it was quite exciting. But you know the big red book that you get? I thought the big red book you got on the night, and it's got all the bits
your
of life, but no, it isn't.
Nothing.
It's nothing. The big red book is empty. Then you get it about 3 months later with photographs of you being on This Is Your Life.
Oh, right.
So it's more, it should be called This Is Your Life, the red book.
And did they drag out embarrassing people from your past that you'd forgotten about, or?
They didn't go for the ex-wife. I was really glad about that.
Right.
And your marriage lasted 10 months and she sold her story to the papers, and here she is, the ex-wife. And here, just take the baseball bat. This is your night.
You're an expert on soccer, Frank, and we want to talk a bit of soccer with you. Can you do that with us?
Oh, go on then.
Cool song we play on this show. Life is a Highway, Tom Cochrane, and British comedian Frank Skinner is with us on
Martin Malloy.
Now, Frank, we want to talk about a show again which has made you a big star in England, but we don't get out here, called Fantasy Football League.
The thing is with Fantasy Football, which is about soccer, as you say, is that it's more of a fans show, so we don't have many footballers on it.
Right.
Because me and me mate Dave are both football fans, we did it from a fan's point of view.
Hmm.
So we didn't show clips of great goals, we showed like great fouls and arguments with referees and stuff like that. And the whole thing is based on that. And then we had celebrities on to talk about football.
Hmm.
So one week we might have like Patsy Kensit and Elvis Costello on talking about their favourite teams and stuff.
You mentioned bits of footage, rare bits of footage. Is there a favourite bit of football footage that you treasure yourself?
I think my favourite bit of footage, we put on there even though it was not much to do with football, there was a documentary about an English team that went to China. But the clip we showed was got no football in it at all. It was just a clip from the Chinese state circus. The best clip I have ever seen. I wish we could show it now. But essentially, an Alsatian dog, you know, a German shepherd, comes into the ring with a small chariot harnessed to its back. And in the chariot is a panda, a giant panda, right, that has a hunting horn. And as they go round and round the ring, it goes... And that, to me, is entertainment. I think, you know, probably, if on the balance and scales of entertainment, if there's a little bit of cruelty to animals on one side and you get that at the other side, I think that's okay.
And tell us about this song, Three Lions. That took everyone by storm, didn't it? That became the kind of national anthem for a while in England.
Well, someone sent me a fax of an English... Do you know a paper called The Sun, which is the most famous sort of tabloid rag? Someone faxed me a copy about 3 days ago. When me and Dave, who presents the show with me, were nominated in this Great British Heroes series. And it's all like young children who dragged their brothers from a flaming house and a Labrador dog who like pulled five babies out of a lake and us for writing a football song.
Now, I think you know it's a successful song. Has it been covered by the Smurfs?
It has been covered by the Smurfs, that's true.
Did you have to meet with the Smurf people and give them any, you know, creative direction?
No, the money was right, so we left them pretty much to their own devices. The Wombles were incredibly pissed off. They'd been up there to the very last, but they just couldn't find the money. God knows they were looking for it everywhere.
Now, of course, like anyone who's come up with an original and a successful idea for a TV program, of course the Americans want a bit of it. Is that true?
That's true. Not with soccer, obviously, because it wouldn't really work. But they want to do fantasy. Well, they started off wanting fantasy baseball, and now they're quite keen on fantasy basketball,
right.
I think.
But not with you.
Well, I actually do like baseball, but I don't like basketball at all, so it depends which way they go, really.
Right.
But I can go as a sort of token foreigner.
Oh, okay.
The way we've been using Ruby Wax over there for all of
you. Well, we saw this documentary recently about that Men Behaving Badly program, and they were turning it into an American show, and they were talking about how there's certain things that Americans won't watch that British people do watch.
You know, they bought, this is absolutely true, they bought Fawlty Towers John Cleese and gave him lots of millions of dollars, and they said, we want to chop and change it, and he said, oh really, I don't want any say in it at all, you just carry on and do it, you know, it's your show now. And one thing that they felt they needed to do was remove one of the characters, which was Basil Fawlty. This is absolutely true, and they felt he was too aggressive.
He's too unpleasant.
People wouldn't warm to him.
Yeah, we put him in front of a couple of focus groups, and he's just not happening. Yeah.
And they felt that the racial thing with Manuel was a real problem.
No, you've got to lose that.
So what they did was that it's owned by the sort of Prunella Scales, the wife. Basil isn't it at all, and every week they have a terrible dilemma solved by the ethnic minority guy who's a Puerto Rican waiter who comes up with the bright ideas.
Now, Frank, we better mention your show. You're in Melbourne at the moment at the International Comedy Festival. People coming along to see you, like I say, they might not know the Frank Skinner story.
No.
What are they going
to
see?
It's me talking about first of all, things Australian, because I don't like to go to another country and then just do the English sex. I think people resent that, you know, I was on the tube the other night type material.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And so I do, last night I did half an hour, I think, on AFL. I don't know where that came from, but I did it anyway. And I'm doing stuff on, you know, Waltzing Matilda analysis and the Ned Kelly story. And there's a bit of smot in there, which I need to get to an hour, hour and
absolutely.
A quarter. Yeah.
But of course you're subverting political correctness as we do.
Sometimes I am, and sometimes I just get dirty. You know, it's a very fine line.
Well, and what sort of reaction have you got from the audiences?
Actually, it's been really excellent so far. It's actually selling really well as well, so I don't know why I'm here. No, it is, but it's been going good. I can't complain.
Well, your dinner's gone cold, and we appreciate you coming in anyway. Thanks, Frank.
Okay, cheers.
To remember.
Oh, yeah, still going on about it.
Stop singing along, Mick.
You know what night that'll be?
Which?
That'll be the night he got his first bloody six string.
Yeah.
Because he won't let anyone forget about that, will he?
It was back in the summer of 69.
That's correct.
I'm led to understand. Thanks very much to Frank Skinner for dropping by. Like I say, I think he's been to Adelaide. He's in Melbourne at the moment, and he's coming to Sydney from Tuesday the 22nd till the 27th, Sunday the 27th, at the Harold Park Hotel. Just get along and see him.
You won't see anything funny on that.
There's nothing complicated about it. It's just...
Yeah.
Now, let's have some gratuitous violence, shall we?
It's time to play When Celebrities Attack. Celebrities and humans have always coexisted somewhat uneasily on this earth, and no one really knows when one may attack next. Imagine Liam Gallagher taking to a wedding cake with a 9-iron. Imagine Armin Mueller-Stahl charging a bus full of school kiddies. Imagine Carrie Ann Kennelly headbutting a drugged buffalo. Imagine being gored by one of the Hunter brothers. If you can help us relive the moment when celebrities attack, you could be up for a faggot prize, courtesy of new blue M&Ms.
Greg Ritchie, a.k.a. Mahatma Coat, just going off on the flight to Perth.
Well, hold my bumper down. What is this shit that you are serving me? What are you, little butter? Give me all my stuff back. I want some dinner sauce, bumper downs and all that stuff. Do you not hear me?
I think he's done, Grayson.
I think he got pappadams out and he's pretty much done after that.
If you're today's winner, you'll bag a blue M&M prize pack and go into the draw for a trip for two to LA and New York, where you'll score a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Okay, lads, rattle the cage.
We'd love to, Pete, but you know what, Mick? Here at When Celebrities Attack, I think it's time to just have a breather.
Okay.
Just relax the violence for a while. We've had a lot of complaints that this segment's on too early. I know Brian Harradine has been calling from Tasmania. He was so disgusted with yesterday's segment, he was out nude in his backyard flaying himself with a crucifix. That's just how angry the segment made him.
Wow.
So let's relax it down a bit and welcome our special guest celebrity, Shane Bourne.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
How you doing? Just When Celebrities Attack, that's a great concept, isn't it?
It's just too nasty, I think, for the time slot. So what we're going to do today is get you involved. And we're not going to have people attack you or you attack us, indeed. But while you're here, what's going on? What's
in the attacking area, or just day to day?
Have you attacked anyone lately we should know about?
No, I haven't. I could. I'll tell you what. I went actually in the coming here this afternoon. I went a bit mad. I've got a confession to make. A bit of road rage.
Oh, yeah.
I was the culprit. I was the propagator. I went mad. You know, it just comes over you. I don't know what it is. I was screaming. I was tooting the horn. I actually rammed the guy twice. And I was in a cab at the time.
There you go. When Celebrities Attack.
There it is.
Right there.
In a nutshell.
Wow. But what I'm fumbling for here, Shane, is Channel 9 tonight. What's going on?
The big... More of the same, I think, boys.
Talk us through it.
We're talking the gala at 8:30, the Comedy Festival Gala, which was recorded, I think, last Tuesday at the Comedy Theatre. And it was a bit of a zinger. I've been involved in a few of them, and there was a big lineup there. It was big. I think it's going to be a bit of a zinger, too. It's the first time Channel 9 have actually kind of been involved here, and they do things in a kind of, shall we say, smooth manner.
Yeah, have they tried to introduce a wheel segment?
Yes, they were pushing very heavily for a wheel, and they're trying to cross-promote during the show, which I thought was a bit funny. They want people to mention comedians who'd been on previously. But I think it's looking pretty good. I was comparing with Judith. Lucy.
Our old mate Jude.
Yes, we had a good time. I think she misses you, boys, just between you and me. I think she does.
She's undergone a few. You know, she used to always come in here every week, always covered in bruises, and I believe that's the subject of... Because she's a bit unsteady on the pins at the best of times, Judith Lucy.
Well, we'd had a couple of reds down at Cicciolina's, and, you know, she opened up. And she said, you know, she told you what happened. I don't think she's...
Talk us through it.
Well, she talked about it on the gala, but I doubt very much whether 9 will be using it. Probably more Brian Naylor's kind of material. She had a bit of a fall late one night and injured the right breast.
Yeah.
And you immediately laugh because you think, oh, it's a tit gag. But no, I mean, it hurt and apparently it was very, very bruised. But she thought, well, who cares? Can't wait to get back to the new boyfriend in Sydney because she figures he's got to be a mauve tit man. Actually, she used the term jugs, which I think was much funnier. Can we do your take too? I'm no jokes, man.
That's, it doesn't matter what happens to Judith Lucy, it's in the act before you've had a chance to even laugh. It's already in. Now, who else is involved? Frank Skinner, we just heard from, I think, yes, makes an appearance.
Frank's on, they're all on. Rich Hall, just going through the internationals. Jeff Green.
Green. Yes.
Very good. Have you spoken to Jeff?
Yeah. I'm going to use the phrase creme de la creme.
Are you?
Is that all right?
Yeah.
It features the creme de la creme of comedians currently in this country.
I would say so. And Anthony Morgan was in for me at his band with him, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
And they were living up to that kind of legendary kind of... Were you there, Pete? They were living up to that kind of band image thing where you basically got to crawl around and do your act, which was kind of good. Have you seen the act? Have you seen...
We haven't seen Ron yet, no.
Yeah. No, they're great.
I mean, okay.
It's nice and earthy. I'm just thinking here, Fleetster, he was on. Great Fleet, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Boothby Grafeau did very well. Leno and Woodley killed.
Good stuff.
They actually opened. I mean, we could go on and on, but it's probably not the thing to do.
Is David Colston there just turning people away?
The son?
Apparently he bruised his left tip and he can't go on any further.
No, Gracie, I think we'll hear David just as we go into the break because, you know, you can have too much of a good thing, can't you, on the show. Shane, we want to involve you in when celebrities attack, and like we say, we're going to have a break from the violence just for one day.
Okay.
We want people to call up and tell us about their brush with Borny. Everyone's...
Can I call in?
You can.
I had a brush earlier today. It wasn't bad, actually. I was alone and I felt buggered.
No, it's not going to be anything that's going to get you into trouble. We did this with Barnsley one time. He was panicking.
Indeed.
But you've been all around the country. I know you toured around many of our regional areas with the Umbilical Brothers, I think, last year.
Big in the regional areas.
We just want people to call up and tell us about their brush with Borny. What was he up to?
Where you saw him, what he was doing. We'll accept the person who you berated from the taxi on the way here today.
I'm a little bit worried because on the regional tour, I did become famous for doing the tuck, which I'm sure you've probably heard about.
We have.
I just wonder whether that comes in under the heading of Brush with Borny.
I don't know if you know this, but Peter Rosethorne has replaced you on the rest of that tour, and he was in here telling us how he can't do the tuck.
No.
He's tried.
No. Has he?
He's equipped. He's not equipped, apparently. Anyway, maybe you've seen the tuck. Maybe you've seen Borny involved in something else. The suspense is mounting. And don't forget, thanks to Blue M&Ms, they're new and they're available now. You'll win, firstly, the Blue M&M pack.
Yep.
And you're going into the draw for the trip for two to New York and LA, where you'll have a walk-on part in NYPD Blue.
That's fantastic.
All right, so call us up. Tell us about your brush with Borny. 1-800-657-657. Yes, Shane Bourne on the xylophone today here at Win Celebrities.
Back, I think I'm going to kiss myself. Can't stop. Stop me, Bourne.
He's attacking the xylophone. It is Win Celebrities attack.
Indeed.
Here at Martin Molloy. We're sending the call out right around the country today. We want to know who's had a brush with Borny. He doesn't have to have actually attacked anything.
Mm.
You just have to have had a brush. Are you ready for this, Shane?
I'm ready. I'm willing and I'm up for it.
He's looking a bit nervous.
Yeah, so he should be.
Who's had a brush?
Let's try Jamie. How are you, Jamie?
All right. Thank you, how are you?
Yeah, can't complain. Tell us, where have you been out and about in your travels where you've come across Shane Bourne?
Well, a little while ago, I was auditioning for Red Faces at the Channel 9 studios in Willoughby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking down a corridor with a very shiny floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I come across Shane Bourne from a distance. And I got really, really excited, didn't know what to do. And I found a pen in my pocket. And as I was reaching out, finding that pen, I fell flat on my face. I think it was virtually right in front of him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but I hopped straight up and ran right in the opposite direction.
I did. I saw it, chose to ignore, kept walking. You know, when you're in the corridors at 9, you've got to keep your wits about you, you're networking, you know, you want to impress the executives, you know, a show could pop up.
You don't have time for that.
If someone goes arse over tit, bugger them, basically.
That's right.
Hey, Jamie, was that in fact your Red Faces act?
No.
What was your Red Faces audition?
Hey? Hi, what did you say, sorry?
What was your Red Faces audition? What were you doing?
I was doing a chicken act.
The chicken act?
Yeah.
Right, you're doing a bit of flapping about?
Yeah.
And did you make it onto air?
No, I didn't, actually.
That's surprising.
Got cut from Red Faces and ended up lying prostrate on the ground in the corridor. Not a good day out, really.
No, but it was good to see him in the flesh, though.
All right.
Yeah, one good thing out of it.
Well, it's a top brush, but let's see what Tony's had. Are you with us, Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
Have you had a brush with Shane Bourne?
Well, actually, I was in an elevator in Myers in Melbourne one day, and me and my mate was standing there, and we were sort of, this bloke standing beside me, mate sort of giving me the nudge, and I'm sort of thinking, oh, yeah, you know, what's going on? He says, you know, whisper me here, that's the bloke off the Great Aussie Joke, you know, and I'm sort of thinking, I'm going, oh, what? It's not the old bloke who says, are you old mongrel? All the time.
Yeah, we do look similar, don't we?
Eddie's gone, no, no, that bloke with a really strange laugh. And we're sort of...
That could be anyone on this show.
It was sort of iffing and ahhing, and we got out of the elevator, and we sort of followed him around. We thought, oh, we got up the gumption to go up and, you know, say g'day and get his autograph. So, you know, we said, got up and said g'day to Shane. Was in the Manchester department in Myers.
That's got to be right. I always hang around there. Love towels. You know what I mean?
And I could still remember it this day. And anyway, we said, oh, you're a real funny guy. And the bloke sort of looked at us a bit strange. He said, oh, yeah. And we got his autograph. And as he walked off, I've still got the autograph to this day. It wasn't him at all. It was a bloke called George Spotsengoris.
Today we're playing Brush with George Spotsengoris.
You know, when Shane came in today, I went, it's George Spotsengoris, get his autograph, he's great.
I do have a confession to make, it was me. And that name came because it was a condition I was suffering from at the time. The doctor said, put this ointment on and you know, the Spotsengoris will disappear.
That's right, Spotsengoris syndrome.
There you go.
All right, that's a near brush.
Wow, eh?
Not a full brush. Let's speak now to Diana. Are you there, Diana?
Yeah.
Where are you calling us from?
Raven Terrace, actually.
Okay, and was Borny down that way?
He was in Newcastle.
Hmm.
Yeah. And we were in McDonald's car park, and next thing we see this big green pickle thing flying at our car. And we turn around, and there he was.
So, this is a case of when celebrities attack. So, Borny's gone your car with a pickle.
Yeah.
He could have just been throwing it away like most of us do.
No, it looks like it was aimed at the car.
Yeah, no, it was an attention-getting device. I can't remember your face. I do it a lot, you know. Especially, actually, it was probably McHappy Day. You know? I was feeling, you know, not so McHappy. And were you in the drive-thru at the time?
Right,
no, I get you, because I remember someone coming through in Newcastle. I did the McHappy Day thing there, and they ordered, like, you know, two big... It was just ridiculous. So instead of fries, you said, you know, would you like an enema with that? But obviously it wasn't you, darling, so... What happened to that gherkin? Have you got it with you? You got it pinned up on the wall with all your posters?
If you want to send it in, Mr. Spotsengoris here will sign it for you. That's who it was through the gherkin. It wasn't Shane. He's never been to Newcastle. It was George. All right, that's a good brush, but let's see if we can go one better as we say hello to Richard. You there, Richard?
Yes, hello.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Kew in Melbourne.
Okay, and what have you seen Shane doing?
Well, this goes back a few years, but I was a young 16-year-old kid, and I happened to be the brother of Claude the Crow. And
Claude the Crow from
Shirl's Neighbourhood.
Of course, mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was actually filling in for Norm the Kangaroo to do some auditions. Mm-hmm. And I was very nervous, and I was in Norm the Kangaroo, and we were auditioning people for the position as Shirl. It wasn't at that stage Shirl's Neighbourhood. It was somebody's neighbourhood.
Yes.
And basically Shane had come in and was doing a bit of an audition, and he was having a yak with Norm the Kangaroo, who was me.
Right, and, so you had a conversation with Shane Bourne in a kangaroo suit.
Exactly.
And as we know, of course, Shane didn't get the role of host, and he waited for years and years, then he popped down to Shirl's place early of a morning in Brisbane, and we all know what happened.
Fixed him up good and proper. So, have you got into the kangaroo suit since that point in time?
No. It's not something... You don't want to be sharing kangaroo suits too often. There are a lot of juices in there.
Yeah, no, it's things you pick up out in the outback. And Claude the Crow, how's he going these days?
He's doing very well. He's over in England, actually.
Writing a book like the rest of them?
No, he's actually gone a bit senile and paranoid.
he's in pantomime.
Diana with the flying gherkin, Richard with the Shirl's Neighbourhood scenario.
Well, I reckon because Jamie was there to do red faces, and I mean, she did the chicken act.
Yes.
I mean, it's normally, you know, that's just open entry. You do a chicken act, you're on.
But she didn't get on.
She didn't get on, so this is a bit of a compensatory. Okay.
Fantastic. Are you there, Jamie? Do you remember this voice? You've got that blue M&M pack. It's full of all kinds of goodies, radios, I don't know, all kinds of clothing items of fashion apparel celebrating the release of new blue M&Ms. You've gone into the drawer for a trip for two to New York and LA, and if you win in 3 weeks' time, you'll have that walk-on part in NYPD blue.
That'll look good in the chicken suit.
Exactly. It's your chance. You can just be there in the chicken suit giving the fingers to Daryl and Co. from the set of NYPD blue.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Shane.
All right, and Shane, thanks for joining us today.
It was a sheer delight.
And don't forget, Shane and Judith Lucy are presenting the Melbourne Comedy Festival Gala. It's on in all states on Channel 9 tonight at 8:30. Thanks very much. completely wasted here, Martin Molloy. Shane Bourne's popped back in. What have you lost, Shane?
My act. For notes here from 64.
Oh, that's the top 5 minutes. I've heard it.
Look at that piece of paper. It's yellow. Yeah, no, left that in the sun.
It's got that sepia thing. As you can see, it's in that kind of early print that you learn. Yeah. Fourth grade. I used to get big laughs back then.
Sansia was reading and memorising that before you came back in.
Well, Sansia actually told me the way she spells her name. She said it's with a CIA. I said up against the wall.
And on that note, out he goes.
Shane Bourne has left the auditorium.
And don't forget Shane and Co. on Channel 9 this evening, that big comedy festival gala. And while we're just on the plug, Sansia, have you got friends involved in that comedy festival?
I do, Melbourne? But he's actually very, very funny. A man called Johnny K. Davies. And he has a show called The Rise and Rise of Little Kenny. Yeah. And it's about a child star. That's how it starts out. It's his journey. It's his comeback, his beautiful comeback. And he was a huge child star, and then he has a big drug problem, and it's all charted, and then this is his comeback, and it's really funny, it's full of songs, and he's hilarious.
It's the feel-good hit of the summer.
I'm afraid it must be.
Time and place.
Oh, you've got to go to the Victorian Trades Hall, which is on the corner of Lygon and Victoria Street.
Oh, yes, where Franklin Ajay is hanging out.
That's exactly the same place, 9:45.
Okay, right. Done.
Okay, that's enough plugging. And Sansia, I know we heard your tale of woe. Was it yesterday, possibly the day before, about your TV set being stolen? Yes. Would never have happened if you'd been sensible enough to install the David Colston alarm. Anyone comes anywhere near the front of your house stands on the doormat, you hear...
Get the f*** off the property!
Well, we've just been asked to...
Get up!
See, you know, you should have known, but fantastic news. We've found the TV, we've had a call. Guess who's got it? New South Wales Premier Bob Carr has Sansia's TV. He claims it was publicly available. He says it was publicly available, and he's returning it to you, but I'm afraid, bad news, the channel-changing switch is permanently set on Channel 9. So there you go. Good luck to you, Bob Carr, the fence. And what are we doing now? Oh, I must remind you, we're about to pay another visit to Martin Molloy Cult Headquarters, but just before we do that, we'd like to thank our guests, Frank Skinner, Shane Bourne, all our gladiators, everyone who had a brush with Bourne. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Coca-Cola and Rob Sitch from Frontline, and the director of a fine new comedy called The Castle will be with us. And as promised...